This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get the Hillman Morning Show on demand. Podcasts and more are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Yeah.
That's another thing with this generation, how strong like this social media connection can be. Like,
well, people have relationships that are just social media. That's their relationship. That's their soulmate is somebody on social media that they've never met.
Remember back when people used to have to lie if they had met someone on Match or online? People like, you guys have been dating for 6 months? How'd you meet? They'd be like, a friend set us up.
Yeah.
Like, it was just embarrassing to say that you met online. Now it's completely different.
But yeah. I'm sure you could agree, Danielle, like, if you're texting someone every day, right, multiple times a day, you can really start to develop feelings.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like you're talking to someone.
Right.
And, you know, you're sharing secrets and, you know, vulnerable information, and I mean, yeah, you know, dude. You know,
if you could start texting Stiz back more.
Well, Stiz has sent Danielle 60,000 text messages
this morning.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's Stanley's poll question. It's up on our Twitter feed at WAAF.
That's right.
Should the conviction, now that you have watched, or maybe you will watch this weekend, the HBO documentary on this landmark case here in Massachusetts, the Michelle Carter case, and the documentary is called I Love You, Now Die. Now that you've seen that, do you believe that the conviction of Michelle Carter should be overturned? And you can share your opinion when you go to our Twitter feed at WAAF.
It's on our Instagram as well, and it will be on our Facebook in 30 seconds.
All right. Yes.
I was just curious, Greg, what you thought about Michelle Carter's parents' decision not to be involved with the film.
I think that's weird.
You thought it was weird?
Well, first of all, they don't ever say, you never see them saying anything in the documentary.
Well, they chose not to be a part of it at all.
Yeah, but even like speaking to reporters or anything. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how. Like, what would? I guess they wanted. Maybe they wanted to keep it private, or they were worried about affecting her. Her potential appeal or something like that.
Yeah, maybe that's what I think. Maybe they were advised not to say anything.
Let's see. Somebody is a 978 texter says, my mind is blown with what you are saying on this case, Stiz. Well,
I mean, I know mental, you know, I'm just familiar with mental health issues, and I just don't understand how you could watch part two of that documentary.
So when he was in the car, and he was killing himself.
Yeah.
With carbon monoxide, and she knew that.
Yeah.
Does she not have an obligation to alert the
authorities? Of course. Does a normal person have an obligation to do this?
Yeah.
But the key word is normal. We are not dealing with a normal girl, and we are not dealing with normal circumstances. We are dealing with circumstances that have been built up in just this, you know, pented up stuff for years. It was a 2-year relationship.
Right.
This kid was suicidal from the get.
Well, he tried to commit suicide four times.
And the mother's saying in the documentary, I didn't know my kid was suicidal.
Right.
He tried to commit suicide 4 times.
Yes.
Conrad tells Sarah or Michelle that, you know, the mother walked in and saw his screen where he had,
how to
commit suicide on there.
Yes.
So
yes.
I don't know. Something's up with that mom, too.
Yeah.
Well, plus it's I think one of the important distinctions in this case is, obligation, moral versus legal.
Right.
That too.
Right. Yeah. You have a moral obligation if you know somebody's going to harm themselves. You have a moral obligation to alert their family.
If somebody's life is in jeopardy. Yeah.
But is it a legal obligation?
Right.
Shu tells me to jump off a bridge every day. I mean, sheesh.
Not in those exact words.
Kind of.
Yeah. All right. Well, interesting. Thank you, Stanley Stiz Grimey.
Thank you, Greg.
I got to give away these tickets to Dave. Hey, Dave.
Hey.
What's going on?
I watched the show last night, too. I watched both episodes. What about all the lies she had? She lied about everything when she knew when he was dead.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, that's the thing is that's why it's so compelling, because you can look at it both ways, and it's very difficult to make a determination. I mean, you know, you look at her trying to get attention and the charity softball game that she organized.
Right.
In his name, but she did it in her own town, not in his town.
Right.
And people were saying, listen, why are you doing this in your own town when everybody who knew him is from Mattapoisett, not from Plainville?
So,
but anyway, listen. You got yourself tickets to go to KnotFest, and I want to thank you for listening. You're going to be participating in the WAAF Summer Tour 2019. And enjoy the show. What do you do, Dave?
I build cabinets.
You build cabinets. All right.
Way to work, kid.
All right. Well, Dave, thank you. Thank you very much. And I got another pair of tickets to give away this hour as the summer tour rolls on here at your concert station, WAAF. It's 8:05, and this is WAAF FM and HD1, Westboro, Boston. WEEI HD2 Lawrence and WWBX HD2 here in Boston.
And now it's your turn to talk as the Hillman Morning Show presents Hill Mail.
Oh, the sports minute's on. Quick, text in all the mistakes that LB makes.
On WAAF.
All right. Today's Hill Mail voicemail messages are brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing. Reach out to them today and find out about their Beat the Heat summer program. You are going to save 10% off a brand new metal roof, and it's the last roof you will ever have to put on your home. EastCoastMetalRoofing.com. That's EastCoastMetalRoofing.com. And real quick, before we play your Hill Mail voicemail messages, Steve has some information on the parents of Michelle Carter and the HBO documentary. And let me just get Steve here. Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that show there for the I Love You, Now Die.
Yes.
Well, her parents, you know, they're not going to participate in the show because they know the show is going to twist what they say into supporting whatever they, you know, they're trying, the message they're trying to provide, right?
Right.
They know how the press really is.
Yeah. I'm not surprised that his parents did it, but I don't think they come off very well in it,
okay,
as Stiz said. So, obscure reference. I believe that this is fact. It's been proven, and it's a ear moth obscure reference. Is it an ear moth Friday? Remind me.
Yes,
again.
Yes, it is.
Okay, obscure reference. I believe that Phil Collins.
Oh, no, you're going to bring this up. You're going to bring this up.
I believe he's
going to get in trouble.
I believe he once saw a man drowning, and he did not lend a hand. If I remember, am I right about that?
So it goes.
They put the spotlight right on the guy. He was right in the audience.
Allegedly.
They are the only one virtually spinning a drumstick in their hand.
Oh, yeah.
Right. No, you're not. You're not doing it. Pains to rose, so stranger to you. There it is. All right. I'm ending my Instagram live, and I'm ending that Phil Collins ear moth, and that is Danielle's birthday drum solo.
Thank you.
All right.
Nailed it.
I hope that worked.
Yeah, you did.
I hope that worked for you. Now, for your listening pleasure, the very best Hill Mail voicemail messages that have been left over the previous 24 hours.
Thursday, 11:52 a.m.
Hey, did you guys hear that hilarious video of Baz freaking out at the bagel shop?
End of message.
Guy! What do you mean, Guy?
Also vertically challenged, our former producer, Anthony Spaz Parziali.
Thursday, 7:32 p.m.
Hey, I think I pulled a Greg Hill out on the boat today. Hit a big wave and my freaking leg nailed against the boat. Oh. Geez, Greg, my leg is really swollen right now. I don't know what I'm going to do up here in Maine the way life should be. All right.
End of message.
Okay. I can't tell if he was telling the truth. Yeah, I guess he was telling the truth.
Confused.
Nothing worse than a rogue wave on Lake Winnie. Hits you from out of the blue.
4:18 a.m.
Greg, I need you to man up, okay? Man up and give me my $100, because that's what the bet was, all right? It was $100. Man up.
End of message.
Yeah. I don't remember the bet, Ron.
Man up.
Yeah, sorry. Ron's got to let it go.
He does, yeah. No, he's... I don't remember a bet.
4:59 a.m.
Hey, LB, it's a random ding Friday. I would like one. I invent yoga pants for guys. I think I call them brogas. They come in very flamboyant collars and stuff like that. I think it's a bag of cash idea, kid.
End of message.
LB's already talked about the brogas.
They're on their way from China.
Right.
China. You're going to get the DHL Express.
Matching hoodies.
Oh.
Are they logoed with like the number 34 or no. like a... like
any
a,
typos? Did we check the proof?
Well, I was thinking about putting like broga in like, you know, straight lettering on the top of the back of the bottoms.
Okay.
But I'm like, you know what? It's a fashion statement. Everybody's going to know.
Mm-hmm.
5:40 a.m.
Greg, I have a Hillman question. I am not bringing my bicycle to the studio. I am taking it on the commuter rail. See you soon. Happy birthday, Danielle.
Thank you very much.
End of message.
Again.
5:55 a.m.
Happy birthday to my beautiful, sassy FWB. Let me know what I can make you for dinner tonight, beautiful. Have a wonderful day.
End of message.
Thanks, now, baby.
How does it work in a friends with benefits relationship? Do you get a birthday present from FWB? And I'm not being creepy here.
I mean, I guess his birthday gift was a mouth hug, so I probably expect the same thing.
Well, happy birthday.
No, you don't.
Happy birthday. Was it the Gluck Gluck 9000 or the Gluck Gluck, or is it the Gluck Gluck 3000?
Sure, I have my own set of those. We've upgraded to the Gluck Gluck X.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you saw that, you know, we have the big, it's like Apple does their big developers, you know, announcements, so that's the Gluck Gluck has their own one scheduled for
but
the
you
X.
You probably don't exchange birthday presents because then you might catch the feels.
Now, you don't do relationship-y things.
Okay, yeah.
It's just FW. The B's don't extend to, like, you know, gifts and celebrations and birthdays and crap like
And you
that.
Don't waste a birthday night on FWB. I mean, you would
I mean, it wouldn't be a waste, but it's just hey, what? So when am I going to see you for your birthday?
Right. Maybe later when she gets home.
Yeah.
She'll make the call.
Be like, wait till my mother pulls up. Whose truck is that? I got a question for you. I drove by the house yesterday. I saw some truck around the corner. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe they were visiting the neighbor. She's like, you don't have some guy at the house, do you? What are you doing? Franny heard you talking about some guy on the radio, and she just texted me. Who's this guy you're talking about?
Oh, you can't.
I have met him.
You can't explain the friends with benefits part to your mom.
Oh, she knows.
She knows. Your mom doesn't have an FWB, does she?
No, mom has a boyfriend. Yeah, it's true.
Oh, she is. Right.
Hello. Live long and prosper.
She was Danielle's mom's FWB.
Yeah, but we're Trekkies, so there's no sex.
You just watch old episodes.
We watch original series.
When FWB comes up in conversation, you know, usually there'll be a 2 or 3 minute lag, and then my mother, you know, then she'll ask if, you know, I've spoken to like Stedman or anybody else.
Yeah.
And then she'll be like, so you're not upset that you never had kids or got married. I mean, I'm fine either way. I just, you know, I worry that you're never going to have what we have because it's, you know, I love, you know, we have such a good relationship
well,
now.
She wants a grandchild.
Huh. My mother's 72. She doesn't want a grandchild.
She doesn't?
Yeah. She's like, you know, she goes, I mean, well, you know, when we were talking about the sperm donor stuff ages ago, like, she's you weren't serious about that, were you? She's like, I mean, you know, I'll help you as much as I can, but I don't feel like I used to.
Is mama still active?
Oh, yeah, she's
at
active.
72?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
What do you mean by active?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's all over the place.
Let's not put a qualifier before that or anything like that.
6:10 a.m.
Hey, Greg. Robert Kraft here. Greg, I'd like to wish my FWB a very happy birthday. I've been with you since the beginning. Thank you, Greg.
End of message.
Thank you, Mr. Kraft.
Mr. Kraft. Mr. Kraft.
6:22 a.m.
Hi, Danielle. This is Tommy, John Cassidy's friend from way back. Wanted to call and wish you a happy birthday today. You're sunshine on this rainy day. Have a great one.
End of message.
Oh, that was sweet.
Thank you very much. I'm going to tell you, if anybody has a used Mercury or something, or a Crown Victoria that they want to offload, Kathy could use a vehicle to drive to Karaoke and over at the Fantasy Island with Ray. Hi, Ray. How are you?
All right. Well, thank you for participating in today's Hillmail voicemail segment. It is 8:18. This is Steve. Hey, Steve.
You know, what is it with? Why is everybody picking on Michelle Carter? I mean, she's only 16 years old. I leave her alone, I say.
I mean,
fool.
I mean, I got to tell you something. It is an Ear Moth Friday, but I don't know if you can. Mm. I mean, can you bait? Are you allowed to bait
you
me?
Bait. Yeah.
Are you allowed to bait me on Ear Moths?
Why not?
I don't know
I mean,
about that.
I'm just sad that, you know, especially in a case like this, that we don't have the capacity to show the music video that goes along, because sometimes it eclipses the fabulousness of the actual song itself.
Yes.
Especially when our magic carpets are
involved. It has been called the creepiest song, one of the creepiest songs in the history of creepy. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, we have to get to the How Creepy Is It story from Manchester by the Sea.
Yeah, this is
and
weird.
We'll, you want to? I mean, I will. I promise you an ear moth. Yeah, I promise there's one coming. But there's a woman in Manchester by the Sea
where all the children died in the fire. Well, you've had time to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Who apparently found a man in her home who was not invited to be there, who was dressed as a pirate.
Ooh!
And clutching a small dog.
What?
That's a very important part of this.
Yeah.
Police got a call about a break-in at a home on Raymond Street in Manchester by the Sea. The homeowner said she had fallen asleep on the couch, mm-hmm. and she woke up to find 79-year-old Herbert Gleason standing over her in full pirate garb. When she screamed, he fled the home. Police officers were notified he was allegedly driving a 2002 Dodge Ram. They found him driving in Gloucester. I believe he lives in Gloucester. And they placed him under arrest after determining he was driving with a revoked license. When he was found, police say he was wearing a black bandana, a black button-up shirt, black pants, a brown leather belt, fashion faux pas, with a gold chain, with gold chain pendants intertwined in the braiding of the belt, and he was not wearing shoes.
Well, no pirate wears shoes. Everybody knows. Obscure reference. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Brad.
Brad
Hamilton. That's why are you taking your uniform off?
What was the name of that place that he worked at?
Pirate Bob's or something.
Yeah, you have to wear
LB, it was Nancy Wilson, I believe, in a Camaro laughing at him.
Yes.
At the traffic light.
Yes. That's when he threw the hat and the food out the window.
The food out the window. Yep.
Guy was probably like working a shift at some seafood place in Manchester by the Sea.
Had a few after work.
He
ended up Long John Silver's.
Ended up going into the wrong home. Yeah, he was at Long John Silver's. He was at the Lobster Trap. He was at the Lobster Shack in Manchester by the Sea. He was at some sort of a seafood themed place. So what happened? Was he? Is he like? Did they throw him in the?
In the brig.
Don't throw me in the brig. I just made a mistake on where I entered my home.
Identified him positively as the man who had broken into her home, he was arrested on an additional charge of B&E during the daytime to commit a felony and put a person in fear. Police say they do not believe the man was drunk during the incident.
Huh
is right.
Off his meds.
Stiz. What do you, Stanley Stiz Grimey has some really important breaking news here to share or breaking show information.
I apologize, Greg, but I was in the back and phone rang and I answered it. And I believe we have Conrad's uncle, Jimmy James, on the phone and he would just like to comment. He's been listening to the show.
Oh.
And he would just like to talk to you for a little bit.
Okay. So we've been talking the last couple days, as many of you have. about the HBO documentary, which is called I Love You, Now Die. And this is, Stan, this is Conrad. Conrad took his life. Yep. He's the subject of the documentary along with Michelle Carter, and this is his uncle.
Yep.
All right. Let me see here. Jimmy.
Hey, how are you? Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks. Thank you for calling the show.
Yeah, man. My my buddy Jeff and Stacy from Pistol Shaw Gypsy, who you might remember, he actually texted me and woke me up and said, hey, man, you got to call Greg Hill.
First of all, how does the family feel about the documentary?
I mean, it's tough to watch, you know, it's like having to relive the whole trial and everything. And, you know, and just to speak on the documentary, I spoke to Allison, one of the producers, yesterday on the phone about it. And, you know, like she said, the hardest thing for her was to try to, you know, keep every side, like, you know, not try to be one-sided on everything, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just a tough situation, you know what I mean? It's a situation that should have never happened, because my whole thing, like I said, even outside the courthouse on the interview, is like, you know, as long as you're under 18, you can bully anyone to death, because I believe there's two people, kind of people in this world, the kind of person that would talk you off the ledge or push you off the ledge, you know? And
you guys, as a family, unfortunately, you've called on like the one bad line we have on this on our phone system.
That's how my life goes.
what?
Greg, we can put him on hold for a second. I can grab his number and call him back on a different line.
Yes, do that. Okay. Do that, please. That might give me a moment to provide an ear moth.
Mm. yes.
It may give me I feel like am I overloaded on ear moths? What am I at, two or three this morning?
It's You're being fine. Aggressive.
Barely done any lately.
Am I being aggressive, LB, with the ear moths today?
Load them up, baby. Do it.
Let me get Jay on the phone. Yes, Jay.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Jay?
So I want to talk about National French Friday tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Yes, yes.
Yeah. So I got a buddy. He's in a band. They're playing at a restaurant in Sutton. And the restaurant's running a bunch of specials that night.
Like what?
They're doing like loaded fries, truffle fries, loaded tater tots. They got a bunch of different things going on.
What's the name of the place?
It's called Blackstone National.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. That's pretty
all right,
fun.
Good. Yeah. All right. Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, tomorrow is National French Fry Day. All right. Stanley Stiz Grimey is getting Conrad's uncle back, and he is back now. How's this line? Is that better? You there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Okay, that's much better. So the family believes that Michelle Carter is absolutely responsible for his death.
Oh, I believe so. You know, I believe she could have saved his life, you know, instead of sitting on the phone the whole time in, you know, just to that at this moment, you know what I mean? She could have told him to get out of the truck. But to tell someone to get back in the truck, you know, it's like, to me, it's the same thing as pulling a trigger. You know, it's like, I would hope, I mean, I've heard you talking about, you know, on the mental illness aspect on the show. And it's like, you know, I've suffered my whole life through depression and anxiety, and I've had some really down times, you know, and it's like, I thank God I have friends that, you know, were like, you know what, you can get through this. Like, you know what? Not screw it, you know, just end your life, you know what I mean?
No.
And I just, you know, it's just, you know, people only see what they see on the TV shows and all that. You know, we sat through the trial and saw every text message, and it's just, everything was just so wrong, you know what I mean?
Do you believe that she did what she did for attention?
I believe she did for attention. I mean, even if you see, like, in the HBO special, you know, she was reaching out to try to get friends with Sam Boardman and all these people. And, but even, like, with the softball thing, you know, like, holding it in her town, you know, I got the softball tournament, I'm famous, and this, that, and the other. It's like, it's just all wrong. But, listen, I know you don't got much time, but I want you to talk to the real source, Kim, my wife, Conrad's aunt, that, you know, Lynn's sister, and I've heard some comments on the show this morning how people, you know, were talking about my sister and all that. And, you know, if you don't mind talking to my wife, she could clear up some things, you know?
Yeah.
Let me put it right on. Hold on. Oh,
okay.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. Jimmy was telling me, you know, comments some of the callers are making, and I just want to address one thing in particular. The four times that he attempted suicide, they were all attempts for help. They weren't attempts to end his life. He was reaching out for help, and he was reaching out to Michelle for help that final time, and she wasn't there for him. And as far as like everything else goes with, you know, people's opinions, people have the rights to make their own comments and form their own opinions. I think a lot of them are misinformed. Maybe they don't know the whole story. You never know what's going on in somebody's life. And I know that my sister and my family's been through a lot. And to hear negative comments and to say or suggest that maybe my sister had anything to do with that, I mean, she carries this weight every day. And it's just really hurtful to hear things like that, knowing that, you know, she did everything she could in her power to, you know, only she knows the relationship which she had with the son. He was really close to my son. They both shared the same mental illness. They talked about everything. Why he never brought Michelle up to him, I have no idea. It's a mystery. We'll never know. But I just want to thank you for shedding light on the subject, especially the mental health aspect of it. And
I think it's
want your
like,
listeners to know.
Well, I think
if they have any questions, they can reach straight to the source.
Yeah. Well, I think, listen, anybody watching or following the case has to be struck by the awful tragedy that it is for your family and for both families. And I think it's just, you know, the way the documentary is constructed, you know, you question where both of them were from a kind of a mental situation.
That's
and,
true. And that's the problem with these documentaries and these specials is because, you know, when they're reaching out, my sister never wanted to have anything to do with any interviews or talking to anybody. But in the end, she looked at it, well, you know, because she had a lot of strangers reaching out to her and saying, yeah, you know, my son was like this, or, you know, your son's story saved my kid's life kind of thing. So she felt obligated to do that. But, you know, with any media or anything having to do with anything like that, I mean, if you look at the 48-hour special, the Dateline, the 2020, they're all spun differently.
Yeah.
However, the director or the person making the documentary or the special wants you to hear the story, that's how they're going to tell it. So that's all I can say about
that. And so you absolutely believe that because she told him, and you believe that she told him to get back in the car, right?
Yes.
Because she did that, you believe that she is responsible for his suicide, even though he took his own life.
Well, I don't see. I'm a criminology student as well, so I study all this. Mm-hmm. And as far as the law goes, she had a culpability to call for help. That was her, you know, she was derelict of duty when it came to that. As far as just telling somebody simply get back in the truck, maybe those are the words that sealed her coffin, but it was to me her failure to act, knowing full well what was going on, being on the phone with him, hearing him moan and take his last breaths, waiting until the phone went silent, then calling my niece an hour later, then playing it off to everybody that she had no clue what was going on.
Even though
putting on a fundraiser, trying to be the Black Widow.
Yeah. Even though she had, you know, we saw text messages where he had said previously, I'm killing myself, I'm doing it tonight, and she had begged him not to and told him not to. How do you make that jibe when it comes to in your mind?
Well, it's just, again, it's the context of the text. I mean, when you see him pop up on the screen the way they showed you on HBO, when you see them you know what I mean? When you see them on screen in the courtroom, like word for word, verbatim, it's different.
Yeah.
It speaks to you totally different. So you can throw in a thing here and throw in a thing there and make it look like whatever you want it to look like. But in reality, that's not how it went down.
So you have to make it, you know, all of us watching, I think we have to make a decision. And the decision is, did she intentionally do this to get attention for herself, to get sympathy for herself because she's evil? Or did she have the same kind of mental illness or a version of mental illness that perhaps, you know, your nephew had, Conrad?
I think neither, to be honest.
You think it's neither?
I think either a combination of both are neither one. It's
okay.
Not that cut and dry.
Yeah.
I know, I mean, it's pretty evident from everything that transpired that she did do it for attention. She was desperate for friends. She knew the only way they were paying her any mind was when she was telling them about Conrad. And then when she did the fake dry run on my mother's birthday on July 3rd, pretending like he had already done it and all these people coming to her. And, oh, my God, yeah, she loved that. She definitely did it for that. But as far as her being evil, I don't know. It's evil. Sociopath, yeah, definitely. She just went for a psych evaluation the other night. She's up for parole next month. I don't know.
She's
a sick girl.
This would be a tough question, but I'm asking it out of curiosity, and I'm sure you've thought about it. Do you think that his parents bear any responsibility for what happened, or do you put all the responsibility on her?
No, I don't put the sole responsibility completely on everybody. Everybody shares a bit of it, I think, including Conrad himself. But I mean, I don't think it's fair to blame the parents. They blame themselves, obviously. Any parent would.
Yes.
Because you feel like, why didn't I mean, she was with him on the beach that day, was smiling and laughing. My nieces were with him getting ice cream that afternoon. My son talked to him on the phone that day. Nobody knew a thing. So you can't blame yourself for something that didn't happen. As far as her seeing anything on a laptop screen, that he may have thought that she saw it, but she in fact didn't see it. My sister wears glasses, so she was looking at it from a distance.
Yeah.
There's no way she would ignore anything like that.
Yeah. Well, I feel for everybody involved in this, and I'm really glad that you guys called this morning. I think people are, you know, a documentary airs like this, and the case is being talked about because of the appeal to the Supreme Court. So I think people are going to talk about it. And
yeah, of course. And you know what? And it's all right. This is our life now. If there's any, you know, misconception, I'd like to shed light on it. But as far as, like, I mean, I've been, like I said, I'm a criminology student. I've sat in classes where this has been brought up, and this is going to be brought up for years to come.
Yes.
I can see this documentary being aired, you know, for students to see. And it's a case that students are going to study. So, I mean, as far as that goes, you know, and everybody's entitled to their opinion, you know, just be kind.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much for listening to us.
And if you hang on a moment, we'll get your information in case we want to discuss this further at some point and you want to. All right.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Sure.
All right. Well, the documentary, which obviously has everybody talking.
Yep.
Is called I Love You Now Die. Stanley's poll this morning is about whether the conviction of Michelle Carter ought to be overturned.
That's right, Greg.
And where are we at right now, result-wise?
Right now, about 70% of our audience do not believe it should be overturned.
They don't.
Yeah.
You do, though.
I do.
You do.
And it's tough to hear from the family like that.
I know.
Your heart just breaks, and I can totally relate to wanting to find, you know, an answer and wanting to find the reason and the cause. And so you can say, this is why this happened.
Right.
But I just don't believe it's that cut and dry. And I don't know if I can sit here and say, you know, do I think if Michelle Carter was never in Conrad's life, he would be alive today? I just don't know if I can say that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, I just don't. And you know,
well, that would be the question. Would, you know, if this hadn't happened or if she had stopped, let's say if she had stopped him, would he have, you know, unfortunately, would he have found some other way to kill himself? It's
tough. And it's, to try to do that four times, four, like I could see once being, you know, but just four times.
She said that he contemplated it. He didn't try.
No, he did try it.
They weren't
real attempts.
She said it was a cry for help.
Yeah. All right, well, it is 8:36. We'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, guys, listen up for a second. First day of camp. Something really important. Okay, we're not women's soccer. We're not the NFL. If there's anybody here that's going to be disrespectful to either the American or the Canadian national anthem, grab your gear and get the f*** out now, because you'll never see the ice
in this arena. We don't have that problem in hockey. We're better than that. But there was no sense in wasting anybody's time if that shit was going to happen. I don't believe it would happen here. We're the most patriotic sport that they have out there. So just keep that in mind. Thank you.
That speech, which was made this week, triggered some. Some were bothered by that. The man who made that speech is joining us right now at 8:45 on the Hillman Morning Show. And it's John Krupinski, the assistant coach of the Danbury Hat Tricks in the continent of Connecticut. And thanks for coming on the show, John.
Hey, guys. Thank you for having me here.
Hey, John.
What's been the fallout? Mostly positive? Mostly negative?
It's been 9,999% positive. You know, triggered a few snowflakes here and there that are whining and upset. But you know what they can do? They can just get the...
Whoa. John, what made you feel motivated to do that?
Poor new kids on their first day of camp caught me in a bad mood. You know, America had a pretty bad week last week. You know, we learned that, Betsy Ross, God, we can't show her flag. And then we went to protests and kneeling. And I really had enough for the weekend. I was up to here with it. And it's my job as the assistant coach to go up there and get the kids squared away, get them on the ice for my head coach, Billy McCreary, was there. He said, you know, wake them up. We want to establish dominance in the locker room. Discipline wins championships. And I just thought that was a great platform to roll out. And if anybody didn't want to do that, then get your gear and get out of here, because there's no sense in wasting my time even looking at you on the ice, because you'll never be here next week.
You know, I've played a lot of over 30 hockey myself, John. So what do you think it is about the sport of hockey that separates it, as you said, from the NFL or even from women's World Cup soccer?
It's two things. The first thing is it's the type of people that we attract. Hockey people. Look, I have Canadians that are probably have more civic pride and show more American patriotism than a lot of people I've seen on TV here as of lately that are Americans. The type of people that we attract are number one. Also, there's number two in hockey that's a little bit different. Can you imagine, bro, you play hockey, you get it. Can you imagine if a player knelt during a national anthem? See, we have the ability in hockey to do something that these other sports don't.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as that puck hit the ice, five guys on that other team would be pummeling that guy. So it would be short and sweet. But I think that's the basic difference in life between hockey and these other sports where, somebody bumped into me and I got to lay down and cry for 10 minutes. I got guys with half a lip saying, coach, I'm okay. Just get me on the next ship.
John, what do you say to those who might say that the most American thing that you can do is to kneel for the anthem, because you're expressing your freedom, your right to protest?
Well, I think you know what I'd say to them if they were in my locker room.
I think you said it already, Ken.
You know, but listen, I run my life like that locker room. So it's anywhere else. Hey, you don't like it, just get. Yeah. One thing that I you know, yesterday on Fox, I expressed that. I'm not telling my players they don't have the right to protest. Not at all. I get that. My owners, we laughed and joked about this. They said, hey, Johnny, we'd give them the team bus if they wanted to go to. If they're having a protest on their time off somewhere, we'd give them the bus to go. And I would fully support any of my players, even if it was something that maybe I didn't personally support. However, yeah. I don't think it's too much to ask for an employee who's being paid to show some respect for 2 minutes or 4 minutes if we play both anthems before a game. I'm not going to apologize for asking my players to be respectful during their national anthem from their country. I think that's ridiculous. What does this world come to when we're expected to apologize for doing the right thing and respecting your flag? And anybody who doesn't like it, well, I can't say these words on the radio, but right. I don't care.
Yeah. We're talking with John Krupinski, the assistant coach of the Danbury Hat Tricks, who made a speech that went viral this week to his team with regard to showing support for the national anthem when it is played before games. And you mentioned your owners. I'm guessing that they feel like this is our business and we do have the right to, in this particular case, tell our employees how we want them to act. Is that kind of their opinion of it?
Absolutely. As an organization, you got to remember the players, they're the people out in the forefront, but they are a reflection upon not only the owners and the coaches. So, you know, somebody goes out and does something, it's my owners that would be under the gun, and also myself and head coach Billy McCreary. We'd be under the gun also. So the question is this: how do you want your team to portray it? Look, I've been one of the most critical guys on Facebook and everywhere when all of these things have been occurring over the last few years and saying, hey, that's a coaching problem. Why is that coach allowing that? I think I set the standard of what our organization will allow and won't allow. And I don't think it's too much to ask that.
Well, John, I'm delighted that you came on this morning. It's a really interesting topic, and it's been discussed in a bunch of different ways, certainly lately because of the women's soccer team. But I'm sure we'll be back talking about it again when the NFL season gets underway. So you took a stand down there in Connecticut, and it's great to have you on the show. And maybe we should come down there for a game or something. Do you guys get on the bus and come up this way at any time or what?
We don't have any current teams in Boston. I'm going to be up doing some scouting, and it was funny, prior to this, I'll be in Boston November 16th as a keynote speaker for a police organization called the Brotherhood, who's doing a fundraiser. But you guys are welcome to come down to Danbury anytime you want.
All right.
We start opening our season October 26th is our first game. I would ask everybody, if you're going to come to a game, no, get there early enough for the national anthem, please.
All right, John. Thanks for being on this morning.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. God bless America.
Texter says, Hardo.
Yeah.
That's what kills me. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's saying that the reaction to him acting as a normal, you know, got my S together, successful U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
They're like, ooh, Hardo. okay. So I love my country. I love my flag. I love my team. You know, I have a great family. I'm doing the right thing by my family. I'm trying to teach some young kids and set them on their way in a professional career. Yeah, what a loser. Yeah, well, what a hardo.
Somebody texted in during the interview and said nationalism is a disease.
But having an opinion is not, especially in this country.
Right.
Because there's several other thousands, whatever, people that'll have the opposite opinion of him.
Yeah.
What I like is that he said the main thing. He's teaching respect.
Right.
You know, whether it's our national anthem, Canadian national anthem, take 2 minutes and just pay a little respect.
Yeah.
That's all.
A texter says Greg will be there for the national anthem in Danbury and then leave. Well,
that's believable.
It's probably a long drive back.
Probably stay for the first period. This is Sam. Good morning, Sam.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys?
What's going on, Sam?
Nothing. Just a little two things. One, with that guy, I'm with him 100%. You know, it's the anthem. Respect it. If you want to protest, you got plenty of time before and after that game to do it.
Yep.
That, I just don't personally, I don't feel is the right time towards our anthem or another country's anthem, to be honest with you. So I'm 100% with him.
Yep.
If you want to kneel, you might as well just get your things and see you later. And then the second thing is that I watched that documentary, and I think, honestly, after dealing with people in mental states like that personally, I could say, yeah, she's got to be 100% at fault for that. I don't think you can get her with murder, but involuntary for sure.
So you would say the conviction is correct, that Michelle Carter is guilty of involuntary manslaughter for what she did?
Oh yeah, by every means. I mean, one of my ex-girlfriends was in a mental state like him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I dealt with that on a constant with her, was, you know, that's all she wanted to do was end her life. She didn't feel good. She didn't feel like she was enough.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's an everyday battle they have to deal with. That's a mental thing that if you're not dealing with that, you don't understand how they deal with it.
Yeah.
so, like, I can understand where he was going to her. That was his crutch in life.
Yeah.
And she was basically just pushing him right off the edge, so to say.
Well, it is. It's a really, really interesting topic. And it's Danielle's birthday today.
Yeah, it is.
And one of her BFFs has called the show this morning.
Oh.
News Smoke, Jessica Reyes.
Yes. What's up, girl?
Good morning. Happy birthday.
Thanks, honey bunny.
What's up, News Smoke?
Oh, not much. How are you guys?
We're great.
Awesome.
Did you by chance cover the Michelle Carter trial?
I did indeed. I was there for every day of the trial.
Did you watch the documentary?
I did.
What do you think?
I thought that the documentary did a very, very good job in basically telling the trial and the whole story between the two of them and of the case in a very accurate and true-to-life way.
Yeah.
You know, all of the, you know, it had even stuff that we didn't see in court, it had.
Yeah.
But it was very, very well done. But the whole case itself, I mean, it's just, I was texting Danielle about it this morning because I, you know, after covering it, I've thought so much about it. And it's so fascinating and so hard to you know, understand, you know, which one way or the other. Should she be guilty or should she not be?
It really, I mean, I think I went into it thinking that she was a horrible human being, had evil intent, and, you know, should be in jail. And I think after watching episode one, I thought that. I think after watching the second episode, I was conflicted because I think they both bear responsibility for what happened. But I don't know that I can say personally that she bears more. I mean, I think her actions are despicable.
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's not always a crime. You know, Danielle said earlier, there's a difference between what is moral and what is illegal, you know, and I don't know. So when you guys were covering the trial, were you able to access all of the text messages? I mean, I think that's something that I would like to do, is to be able to look at all of the text messages. I mean, there's so many.
Yes, there's so many. There was a, you know, they showed us in court, and then there was a clerk, you know, after the day is finished, you go and you can get all the exhibits. And there were quite a few of them. I mean, there were too many to go through, but I mean, the text messages weren't really indicative of a real relationship between two people. I mean, it was between two, I mean, seemingly sick kids.
Yeah.
But the documentary, what you just said, you know, I went into the trial feeling like she should go to jail. She was guilty.
Yeah.
But the documentary did a great job of chronicling the trial itself, because once the trial was done, I felt exactly how you felt, conflicted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah.
But
by the way, several texters want to know when you're going to be back on television as a News Smoke.
Oh, well, we'll find out.
Well, they miss you. Is it nice to know that?
Well, I miss them too.
All right. Are you and Danielle doing anything special for the birthday? Are you guys going to have like a ladies who lunch kind of thing, or some rosé all day, or frosé all day, or what? Like, what's the plan?
That's up to the birthday girl. What do you want to do?
Yeah, we got to throw together a plan for me, Jess, and the lovely Katie Thompson.
Oh.
Oh my lord.
Rosé trio.
Do you need a driver?
Nope.
I'll be the DD on that one.
We're good, thanks. If you want to pay, you can.
I was going to say, how about I just pay?
Yeah, that's fine. Right. That's great.
But I'm not calling ahead with my credit card. I have to actually physically be there.
You can wait in the car. You can have Monkey run it in.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Yeah, well. No. Once Katie gets home, I'm at home waiting for her to get home from work. And once she finally does, we're all yours.
Oh, my God. You guys are going to be dismantled by 2 p.m.
I love it.
At like Abe and Louie's or something like that.
No.
All right, guys. Jessica, great to talk to you. And happy birthday, Danielle.
Thank you.
All right.
Happy birthday, Danielle.
Thanks, baby.
All right. There she is, Jessica Reyes.
Love her.
Who should be on television. She should be on the news.
Really.
And she is News Smoke. Is she News Smoke number one on the show? Or who? I mean, we don't want to rank them. I mean,
yeah, no, you can't.
We have a pool. A collective pool of News Smoke.
Katie's right up there.
Yeah,
she's
Natasha.
She's a Maine native, yeah. Natasha. I mean, yeah. No.
So I just want to see a kiss off.
LB, that's
LB
a little
made
bit.
It weird.
I mean, that LB made it weird.
But there are a lot of people weird? That share your sentiments.
They're like best buds. Like, they haven't been out dismantled together. And
We're not making out in the bathroom having a pillow fight. I don't want to dispel the myth.
I got that in my head, but I was just thinking maybe at the bar and a pinch of 11.
This is Jim. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Greg. How you doing?
What's going on?
Not much. Hi, LB. Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
What's up, Jim?
So I just wanted to talk about the flag incident that
the anthem. Yes, go ahead.
Yes. So I totally agree with him. I think that people nailing to the flag, the reason why we have that flag and have the right to protest is because of that flag. And if we're going to, you know, disrespect that privilege, it's basically.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.